Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? And what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. What are you worried about? What keeps you up at night? What spins in your head like the spin cycle in a washing machine that worries you, that concerns you? I'm reminded of the words of Corrie Ten Boom, as you know, one of my favorite heroes of the faith, who, because of her testimony of faith in the Netherlands during the Nazi occupation, spared the lives of Jews, and as a result of that, was sent to a concentration camp. She had lots to worry about. And yet she said that fear and worry and anxiety is a series of unhealthy thoughts spinning around a center of fear. Jesus says, stop it! Don't do it! I love that Jesus addresses our fears and our anxieties and our concerns, because we all have them, don't we? When you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you see at the base of that pyramid, and he developed this thought in psychology back in the 1940s, he said, every human being has needs in their lives. And of course, one of the most basic needs is food and air and shelter and clothing. And then you move up from that, and then you need a secure place. You need to have a place of security that is without fear. And then you move up to emotional needs. You have a family that loves on you, that hugs on you, that encourages you, that supports you. Every human being has these needs. But then you move up to the higher levels of that, and there are psychological needs that we have. And there are needs that we have of self-esteem and self-fulfillment and ultimately identity. Who are I? Who am I? What is my purpose in life? What is the meaning of life? What is my contribution during the days of my life in this place? Will my life count? God knows us. God knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows who we are, and he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And Jesus is saying, when you trust God, remember, we just finished the Lord's Prayer, our Father. When you know God as your Heavenly Father, then you do not need to dwell in that place circling around your anxieties and your worries and your fears, because you know that your Heavenly Father cares for you. And we're going to unpack this a little bit. Jesus, after saying, don't put your stock in the things of this world, mammon. You can't serve two masters. You got to serve somebody. You can serve yourself. You can serve your family even perhaps, which is admirable. But ultimately, Jesus is giving us this counsel. Serve God and Him alone. And all these other things will flow from that. Don't worry about things, Jesus says. Food, drink, clothing. For you already have life, you have a body. And are they not more important than these things? The point Jesus is making there is like, God made you. He gave you your body. Did you have any involvement in the development of your own body? No, you didn't. That was a God thing. He truly knit you together in your mother's womb. He's got your back. He cares for you. If He made your body and gave you life and breath from that first moment when you inhaled breath on that first day when you were born, and even unto today, do you understand that the very breath that you and I breathe right now is because God is sustaining us? Jesus is saying, God gave you your body. What a miracle. He's giving you the breath in your lungs because He's sustaining you by His word. If He's doing that, then food and clothing, that's a small thing. Of course He's going to provide that for you. Jesus is speaking a word of trust, of hope, and encouragement into our hearts. Because you know what? We love to fret. We love to worry. I don't know, it's just like a preoccupation that we have. We're worried about our kids. We're worried about food on the table. We're worried about making a difference. What are you worried about today? What is making you anxious? What concerns you? Jesus knows that we have that. Okay? But He's speaking a word to us and He said, focus that. He says, consider the birds. Think about the birds. How many of you are here are bird watchers? Yeah. Here is your proof text to know that your activity of bird watching is God ordained. It's not trivial. I sit out in the back porch of my home, and one of the things that I love to do is listen to the birds. And any of you that have ever been on Zoom with me, or maybe even on a phone call, when I'm outside, can attest to the fact that we have all sorts of birds. I have counted over 25 different types of birds. Last fall, I took my bird feeder down, my hummingbird feeder down, very responsibly, I will add, in the fall, because I don't want to keep a source of food for those sweet little hummingbirds beyond, you know, the length of time that they need to be around here. They need to skedaddle and go on down south. So I take it down in October. I was sitting on my porch having my quiet time this past Thursday, and I heard the unmistakable wing beat of a hummingbird. I didn't see it. I heard it. You know what? I put down my Bible. Yeah, I'm not embarrassed to say it. And I went straight to the garage, and I found the hummingbird feeder. And I filled it up and I hung it out there. And within 5 minutes, I saw the hummingbirds. What a creature. That heartbeat, so many times per minute. The wing beat. It is a miracle. It is amazing. God made that hummingbird. He made everything. He made you and He made me. And He says, consider the birds. You know, God provides for them. They go out and they get the worms. They make their nests. Are you not of more value to God than the sparrows that you can buy in the marketplace for a few cents? And when a bird falls on the ground dead, Your Heavenly Father knows it. Everything has to die. You and I will die. Our life will come to an end. And we don't have to worry about that day when we've settled and resolved the fact that Christ is alive through the resurrection, and He is promising us life in Him. So that whenever that day is, when we depart from this worldly body, that we will enter into life eternal. We will open up our eyes on the other side, and Christ will welcome us. Consider the birds. Consider the lilies of the field. The grass that grows. It's springtime, and I see flowers all over the place. And they are a wonder to my eyes. The variety of flowers is mind-boggling. And God just spoke all that into existence. All of that beauty. And it reflects the beauty of God. And it brings glory to Him. It brings delight to Him to have made all of these things. He says, think about the lilies of the field. They spring up one day, and the next day the hot winds come and they're dead. And they get cut down and they get used as kindling in a fire. How ignoble. You take a beautiful flower, which on this day brings incredible delight, and tomorrow brings you warmth because you burn it. All of life will be dissolved, the scripture says. In 1 Peter, he says all of creation will be dissolved. I take that to mean that it will be transformed from one beauty to a transcendent beauty. Because all creation is groaning. Is the new creation coming, my brothers and sisters? It is. And we await that with joy and with anticipation. That's where our hearts should be, Jesus is saying. Not on worrying about tomorrow, but anticipating tomorrow. Let us get our hearts on the right things, he says. Now, will all of your worries add a moment to your life, an hour, a span? No. All of your energy that you waste on your worries is really useless, Jesus is saying. You know, can you even have control over one hair on your head? Jesus says, no, you can't. So get your focus on the right thing. If God loves His creation so much that you can see, know in your heart that He loves you and that He is working in your life to bring about more beauty and more grace. How do I know that? Because Christ is being formed in us. The scripture says, from glory to glory, He's changing me. The likeness and image of Christ to what? Perfect in me. And this life is a journey of growing perfection in Christ. It's called sanctification. More and more each day, the Spirit is speaking into our hearts and making us more like Him. As Paul wrote to Titus, for the grace of God has appeared. This grace teaches us to say no to our flesh, to the worries of this world and the cares of this world, and yes to Christ, and yes to the Spirit, and yes to the kingdom. So don't worry, Jesus said, about clothing or food or drink. That's what the pagans think about. We were like that at one time too. We were worried about those kind of things. But now that has changed. Because now Christ lives within us. Does that still change the need that we need to have food and drink and clothing and a house to stay in that's secure? And that we have emotional needs and that we need to hug on each other and we need to affirm each other and that we need to have purpose and meaning? No. But God knows all of that. He said in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God, lest any of us should boast in ourselves. For we are His," what? "Workmanship, created for good works, which He has prepared in advance for us." You know that work that God has prepared for you and for you and for you, whether it's painting, whether it's as a mom, whether it's as a teacher, whatever it is that you are doing in your life, that's the good work that God has laid out in advance for you to do. And He's saying, seek first the kingdom and the kingdom's righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You want meaning in your life? True meaning? You want to hit the apex of Maslow's hierarchy of need and really understand your identity and the purpose for which you were created? Then know this. It is by the Spirit of God that He tells you, you're mine. You belong to me. You're my son. We are princes and princesses. We are priests and we are kings. We are called as ambassadors to share the good news. So when Christ says, seek first the kingdom, that implies that there is a king and that He rules and He reigns in that place. And the first place where that must be true, my brothers and sisters, is in our heart. The gospel must mean something to me, first and foremost, before it can mean something to my neighbor or to my community or to this world. Seek first the kingdom. Ask God to more and more in your life reveal to you where His kingship needs to have rule and reign in your life. Are there areas in your life that are not surrendered to Him? Maybe the area of anxiety and worry and concern about tomorrow is an area that you need to confess. And it may be one of those situations where it's two steps forward and one step back, brothers and sisters. You say, God, please help me. If you're a worry wart, you may struggle with this area of sin in your life for the rest of your life. You know that? We all have besetting sins, the Scripture says. And I've mentioned this scripture to you many times. From Hebrews, let us put off these besetting sins and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Jesus is the one who is ruling and reigning in our heart. And we must come to a place to be born again, where we experience the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ in my life. And when the kingdom and the reign of Christ is true in my life, it can expand to my family and into my neighborhood and my community and beyond. It's interesting to me that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and the kingdom's righteousness. Why would Jesus focus on the righteousness of the kingdom? If indeed we're living in the kingdom, then the righteousness of the kingdom is implied in that. Wouldn't you agree? But here's the challenge. The kingdom may have been sought and found. For Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And that may be true in your life. But now you work in your family and there may be unbelievers in your family. Or maybe you're involved in your community association and there may be unbelievers in your community association. You understand, we are to have an effect for the gospel in every place that God puts us. At our work, at colleges, at schools, wherever God has placed us. And God is calling us as agents of change, as ambassadors for this kingdom, to bring about the righteousness of Christ in those places. So that involves, for example, sharing your faith. asking God for boldness. Are you worried or concerned? Fretful about sharing your faith in and around you? What will people think? Oh, it's so embarrassing. I don't want to be, outcast. I don't want them to say stuff about me. Are you worried about the opinion of men on your life? Are you? Yeah, well, sometimes I am because I'm a people pleaser. I worry about what people think about me. That's where I have to confess. Lord, forgive me. Because I'm fretful and I'm anxious and I'm worried about the opinion of men. And really, ultimately, when I seek first the kingdom of God, then the only opinion that matters to me is Christ's opinion of me. Christ within us, the hope of glory. Paul talks about the fact that though everyone abandon us, if we have Christ, we have everything. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. So I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, in your work, in the things that you create, in the things that you say, in the things that you do, bring about the righteousness of Christ in your community. We can make changes in the world when we speak up for what is right. When unbelievers hear that, they may be taken aback. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take our words and our actions and make a difference. We have to be communicators of the gospel, first and foremost for ourselves, then within our families and communities, in our nation and in the world. My brothers and sisters, that's why when we seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, that we're interested in missions. Why is this church focused on missions, both locally and internationally? Because we want the kingdom of Christ to expand. We want the reign of Jesus to move forward. And if people will not bend the knee, and they will not come to know Jesus, we at least want the justice and the righteousness of the kingdom of God to be expressed and experienced in the world. So, for example, one of the things that the church should be concerned about is sex trafficking, whether it's in our own nation or whether it's in some other country. And we need to join organizations like International Justice, and we need to be part of mission organizations that are making a difference, not just individually in the lives of people, but also lobbying those governments to change law enforcement and to change their attitudes. Do you understand? The righteousness of God can be extended even to people who do not acknowledge God, okay? Because all truth is God's truth. And it is wrong, it is utterly wrong to misuse another human being. And so we pray that the advancement of the gospel may move forward. And we look forward to that day, my brothers and sisters, as we seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That not only do we have everything that we need for life and godliness, the scripture says, but that we can trust that He will be with us always, and that He will do what He says when He says, "For He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. And all these things that you worry about, they will naturally be added onto you because your Father in heaven knows what you need and He loves you. And in Christ, He has opened His hands to you and freely given you everything that you need. Hallelujah.